Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and ask that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word, that we would be fed and nourished with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us drink deeply and eat richly of the grace that is given to us in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 16 and through verse 17. Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. Hear now the word of our God from Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, since yesterday was Reformation Day, I thought it appropriate to consider a passage, if not the passage, by which the Holy Spirit worked powerfully in the life of that German monk, Martin Luther. And verse 17 was that verse that was so pivotal and so used mightily by God in his life. And it is the verse that forms the theme for the entire book of Romans. It is a verse that communicates to us clearly the doctrine of justification, that the righteousness we have by which we stand, acceptable in the sight of God, we are given by Christ. Is this causing a lot of static? I feel like I'm hearing a lot. I'll just turn it off. I can do it without. Okay. Sounds good. Sure. No. That's okay. The Lord didn't give me much of a strong body, but he gave me a strong voice, as you all know. So,
something like that?
Sure. That'll work. Sort of blocks my view of Domi there and his good-looking face, but all right. Verse 17 forms the theme for the entire book of Romans. And it is a verse that communicates to us that doctrine of justification, that doctrine by which we are declared righteous in the sight of God. Not because we are so righteous, not because we've done so much good in our lives, but because Christ in his life was perfect in our place. And he died on the cross to take away all of the punishment that we deserved for our sin. That we stand now in the presence of God, clothed not in our guilty robes of sin, but in the rich robes of Christ's righteousness. But before we get to verse 17, we come to verse 16. Profound, I know. 16 comes before 17. But the first thing that Paul says in verse 16 is that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How relevant a statement that is to us in the day and age in which we live. While we're not being killed or put in prison like our brothers and sisters around the world in different places, yet that day may come. But how often have we been put in situations where we could have stood bold for Christ, and yet we cowered in a corner? How often have we been put in a position where we could have said something gospel related and we didn't, out of fear? Are we more like the pre-Pentecost Peter or the post-Pentecost Peter? Are we running away and denying Christ because we are afraid of the world? Or are we bold, being willing to be beaten and ultimately killed? We remember our forefather in the faith, Guido de Bray, when he penned the Belgic Confession at the introduction. He said, "We will give our backs to the whips and our mouths to the gags and our bodies to the fire in order that we may stand for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ." If you are discouraged because you have failed, because you have been ashamed of the gospel and of Christ, I encourage you, do not lose heart. For Christ did not cast Peter away when he denied him 3 times, but instead restored Peter and strengthened him to continue on the work that God had called him to do. Confess your sin of being ashamed and come to Christ for forgiveness, healing, and strength to go forth in more boldness. Pray for that boldness. We read in Acts that the apostles, even after Pentecost, they prayed for the Lord to give them the strength they needed to boldly proclaim the gospel. And as we go forward in this life, we know that Christ will continue to make us more like Him. Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in us will complete it." He will continue to make us more like Him. Bold in the truth, as the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify us. And the Holy Spirit will sanctify us, making us more bold by instilling in us the truth. The truth. Oh, how important it is that we say the truth. Not a truth, not my truth, the truth. The truth, whether you believe it or not, this is what is true. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. When we read that in verse 16, what do we mean? What does Paul mean? That the gospel of Jesus is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, Jew and Greek, or in other words, everyone. No matter how sinful, no matter how rich or poor, bond or free, white, black, yellow, red, brown, male, female, it doesn't matter. Christ has the power to save everyone. And everyone who believes, not might be saved, hope will be saved, wonder if we'll be saved, will be saved. Will be saved. If Christ came to save His people, they will be saved. There is no question, and there can be no doubt. For the power of God cannot be thwarted. And what a comfort and blessing that is to each and every one of us, that we know that we are held in the hand of our Heavenly Father, and that we cannot slip through His fingers. We are His. Saved from eternal death and given eternal life. The more we believe that, the stronger our faith is in holding on to that gospel truth, the more bold we will become. For if we believe that we have in the gospel the only way that one can be saved for all eternity, why would we be ashamed of that? Let this truth renew your mind in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save everyone and will save everyone who believes. And that brings us then to verse 17. How does Jesus save? How is the gospel of Jesus able to save us? Well, that is where verse 17 comes in, and this is the verse that God used so powerfully, as I said, in the life of Martin Luther, the German monk who stood up to all the powers of the Catholic Church and proclaimed the gospel. Verse 17, "For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How is Jesus able to save us? The righteousness of God is revealed to us. A righteousness that is not our own. For no one can be saved by their own law keeping. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here Paul showcases the glory of the gospel, that there is another righteousness. That we are given a righteousness that is not our own. It is an alien righteousness. It is a righteousness that is apart from us, but it is given to us. It is the righteousness of Christ that we are given. We are given His righteousness not because of some great active work that we have done. Christ doesn't bestow upon us His righteousness because we in ourselves have been so good or because our faith is so great. He does so simply because He loves us in His eternal and electing love, and freely gives us His grace. And we are given this righteousness, we are given this grace of salvation through the instrument of faith. We can only make this righteousness of Christ our own by faith. There is no other way. Now hopefully as we read over this verse, you have a question as to what does it mean that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What does Paul mean by that? Part of the confusion that we might have with this phrase is because, unfortunately, of the translation, which more accurately should say, by faith to faith. Which, as Robert Haldane explains, the righteousness which is by faith, namely, which is received by faith, is revealed to faith in order to be believed. To say it again, the righteousness which is received by faith is given to us to be believed. The righteousness which is received by faith is given to us that it might be believed. Paul also says the same thing in a slightly different way in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, where we read, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." And again, essentially, what Paul is saying when we read from faith to faith or by faith to faith is essentially what he says when he quotes Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Or the righteous shall live by faith. Paul could not be more clear. It is through the instrument of faith that we passively receive the righteousness of Christ so that we may have eternal life. So that we may be acceptable in the sight of a holy God in which no sin can be in His presence. A life of eternal communion with our God, as we'll celebrate in a few moments. I know for us that have grown up in the Christian church, and especially in the Reformed church, those words, the just shall live by faith, maybe sound a bit old hat. We've heard it many times. That's the temptation anyway. The more you hear something, the more the temptation is to be bored with it. But my brothers and sisters, those should be some of the most glorious words that we hear with our ears. The just shall live by faith. Because those words mean that you have hope. If God did not provide this way, there would be no way for us to be received in the presence of God with His favor. This is the only way. These words should remind us of the freedom from the bondage of sin that we now have. They are words that should remind us that it is by the gospel of Christ that we are brought out from the deep, dark, damp pit of sin and death. And we are brought into the glorious light of life and hope in Jesus. Thinking upon the life of Martin Luther, it is this verse that God used to begin to awaken Luther to this glorious truth that this is all that he had gospel is all that he had. Luther rightly already at this point in his life understood his sin. He understood that every single moment of his life he did not meet God's standard for holiness. He understood who God was in his holiness. But he had not yet understood how he could be saved. And there are three distinct moments in the life of Luther where this verse came rushing to him to remind him and teach him of how one can be saved. The first time was in Wittenberg when he was teaching through the book of Romans. And when he came to this verse, he realized something really quite profound. In the Latin translation of the verse, it read, "Those who are made just shall live by faith." The Roman Catholic Church taught and still teaches officially that it is through the seven sacraments of the Church and personal holiness that one is made just or righteous in the sight of God. And that such a person then goes through their life in faith. But Luther was now reading the text in the original Greek. And he saw that the word that was used here did not imply that one was made righteous, but rather that one was declared righteous on the basis of someone else's righteousness. This began opening the door in Luther's mind. Then on his way to Rome, Luther fell deathly ill. He became terribly afraid that he was going to die. And Luther, as I said, he knew his sin. He knew the holiness of God. But he had not fully understood the gospel. And in the midst of his sickness, he had great fear of dying and having to go before the judgment seat of God with his own righteousness. That would be what he had in his hands. But as he was suffering there on his deathbed, these words came to him once again by the power of the Holy Spirit. The just shall live by faith. The door opened a little bit more. Then Luther went to Rome, and at the time the Pope was giving an indulgence to anyone who climbed Pilate's staircase on their knees. Children, that meant that the Pope was saying that anyone who climbed these steps that were supposedly from Pilate's court that Jesus walked down as he went to the cross, that if they climbed up these steps on their knees, that they would have their sins forgiven. Children, do you think that by climbing some stairs on your knees that your sins will be forgiven? Even if they're holy stairs? Even if the Pope said it? As Luther was ascending the staircase, again he heard a voice say, "The just shall live by faith." And Luther immediately jumped to his feet and left. The door finally swung open. When Luther understood that he was saved by the righteousness of Christ, not his own, and that this righteousness could only be his by a true faith, he wrote, "When I discovered that, I was born again of the Holy Spirit, and the doors of paradise swung open. And I walked through." My brothers and sisters, as we come now to the table of our Lord, let us not come resting in our own righteousness. Let us not for a moment think that we have a right to partake of this holy feast in and of ourselves. For if we come trusting in our own righteousness, what will we be doing? We'll be eating and drinking judgment on ourselves. But let us come in faith, trusting in Jesus and the salvation that He has given to us by being our atoning sacrifice. And as we eat of the bread and drink of the wine, let us receive in our hearts and souls the life and righteousness of Christ, by which we now have and enjoy forever abundant life in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know the natural sinful inclination of our heart to come before You presumptively, to come before You trusting in ourselves, even if it's only in part. You know that it is our temptation to say, "Look what I have done. It's good enough." There is always a part of us that wants to trust in ourselves and trust in our own strength to save us. Lord, we pray that You would crush that sinful and evil desire within us. Help us to see our hopelessness in ourselves and to see the pure hope that we have in Christ. Heavenly Father, we believe. Help our unbelief. Cause us to rest and trust in Christ, in what He has done for us by dying and rising again and living a perfect life in our place. Let us rest and trust in Him and in Him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.